This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 231 of the Countdown Podcast. You have two assholes talking about other assholes here today. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And as Wayne has once again perfectly summarized, today it's all about the a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe as far as Apple Podcasts is concerned, the jerks, which we might have to formally
name.
Yeah,
you gotta clean it up for the Apple Podcasts.
A little bit we do. The top 10 Hollywood jerks or a-holes.
A-holes.
Is the way that we have marketed it this week in the lead up to recording today. So it's going to be a little bit of a... Look, I'll say it up front.
Please, go on.
I've tried to substantiate where possible. I've tried to find stories about actors and producers and directors that have been spoken by the people that have worked with them.
Yes.
That have gone on the record.
Yes.
Rather than just the anonymous person online
mm-hmm.
who's just gone, well, fucking so-and-so did this. And if I may, here's a prime example. Zach Braff.
Mm-hmm.
Story goes that he was in a restaurant in Montreal with a group of friends, had full meals and drinks, and when the bill arrived, he was shocked and acted like he shouldn't have to pay because he's famous. Manager made him pay.
Now, Zach Braff is one of... Well, he must be one of your favorites as you're such a Scrubs fan.
Well, he kind of was, and I read that, and I remember the controversy about him doing the Kickstarter for a movie of his when he shouldn't need to. Kickstarter's not for people like Zach Braff to make movies. It's for people who have no money to make movies.
Okay,
so he copped some shit for that. And then there was someone who claimed to worked on Scrubs as he was a real prima donna and made people drive to the opposite ends of LA to get the one type of coffee he liked and then had to leave it outside his door.
I heard that.
This kind of stuff,
yeah.
Right? However, in this particular instance, this was on Reddit. This person published this story. Then from Reddit user Zach Enoz, who it turns out is Zach Braff.
Oh.
This is utter bullshit. I was a waiter myself and know better than anyone how hard waiters work. I overtip, if anything. One thing I'll never get used to being in the public eye is that any fucktoad and his fucktoad sister can completely make something up about you and state it as fact on the web. I've been dead twice in 1 year on here, but I ain't dead yet. Fuck you and your French-Canadian lies. Eat rancid cock.
Jesus, this is what he wrote.
Kiss, hug, kiss, hug, kiss, hug, ZB.
That sounds like I wrote it.
The original poster then came back with, after a full day of trying to prove this story true, I was unable to come up with anything. I have to concede. Sorry, Zach. I was telling a story that was told to me and I had no right to damage your reputation through rumor or something I didn't know to be fact. If I ever do see in a restaurant in the future, your meal is on me.
Wow.
So that's the kind of thing I didn't include.
Yeah.
And originally Zach Braff was on my list, so I found that story and I booted him off because I thought that's not fair.
No, it's not, because you can tell shit. Everyone has a bad day,
yep.
You know, and Bill Murray said this. He said, when you become famous, you've got like a year or two where you act like a real asshole.
Yes, I read that too.
And yeah. You can't help yourself. It happens to everyone. You got like 2 years to pull it together or it's permanent, right? Obviously, some people have let it become permanent.
As we're about to learn.
Exactly.
In due course. But before we get there, a couple things I want to do to do the housekeeping, as you want to call it.
No, I'll come up with a new name, okay?
All right, yeah, we'll work on that, motherfucker.
Okay, sorry, slut.
First of those is the result of last week's show, which was, of course, the top 10 action movie stars. And you wiped the floor with me, sir. It wasn't even close.
About fucking time.
48 votes to 19. So well done to you. Some of the feedback from Etion Filion Xavier.
Well done. Xavier. Yeah. Go on.
Sorry, Etion. I'm not a big fan of T2C, but I am a big fan of K to the R. Paul gets my vote.
Yeah, not alone there, I'm sure.
Well, you may as well have been. So David Powell was incensed that neither of us had each other's number one on either of our lists.
That's actually a good point.
But I'm voting Wayne simply because TC has the strongest action pedigree of any actor, even more than Arnie, he claimed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tough one.
Once again, Bob Alice also said, I don't know how neither of you had the other one's number one. This is a crime against humanity. Holding my nose, voting for Paul. Leanna Petty said, I'm voting for Wayne just for having the balls to put Steven Seagal on his list.
Yeah, it was a power move.
Jon Snow said, Wayne gets my votes because his number one was on point with teeth. So this is weird. So our friend Alejandro, who yes. a couple of times co-hosted on the show,
yeah.
He basically said, this is 1 week going for the female vote. Failed you, Paul.
I was so thinking that. I got to say, you know, now that you've opened the can, Paul.
Alejandro.
Alejandro, all right. I was sitting there going, and then there's
Charlie's I'll stand by. Sigourney is
I know,
like,
you've li-
this was perfectly fine. Like, there's no doubt about that. But I was concerned that I had no chicks. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put one in politically. I'm just going by the numbers here. So, you know.
I agree. TTC probably should have been on my list. So, look, there you go. And Austin Baker said, I'm going to abstain since you both had the charisma vacuum as JCVD on your list. This is one of those topics which is very easily incensed pretty much anyway. So well done to you. That means the updated score is 12 to me, 9 to you, one draw for the year.
Still,
you narrow the gap
laggard
just a little bit. All right then. So we'll obviously have the same thing in the Facebook listener community. Join up. Links in the show notes if you want to vote in, week out for who doth win. Now, before we move on to start the episode proper and get into our lists of the a-holes, I want to present to you, Wayne, a song.
Okay.
A song from the Fast and Furious soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Fast Reviews presents Hobbs and Shaw, I should say. Right, so very recent.
Righto.
And it was with wonder that I saw who the artist was attributed to on this list.
Oh, no.
Okay, what? Now, I could play the whole 5 minutes 49 of it, but I'm not sure that's good podcasting.
No, maybe not.
Right, so I'm just going to have to fast forward to the part of the song where an actor does some rapping.
Oh, God.
And I want you to determine, and I want you to help me determine whether this is the best thing you've ever heard or the very worst.
This will be great. Okay, let's hear
okay,
it.
Okay, so here we go.
The fuck is that? British guy. Oh, who is this? Is that freaking Idris Elba?
Yeah.
He's real, oh my God! He started rapping. What is he? Well, I guess it sounds like Dizzy Rascal or something.
Even If I Die, Hobbs and Shaw, featuring Cypress Hill, but the artist in the like Apple Music is Idris Elba.
What the
for that sequence there?
And he rapped. That's not just
I got
something anyone
one
can
heart,
do.
I got two fists. I've listened to this. I've listened to this about 20 times during the week and I had to bring it to the show.
Damn. All right. That's good.
It's pretty out there. As I said, I can't decide if it's wonderful or it's just awful.
I'm having trouble with it too. I think I don't mind it, actually.
Listen to the whole song, like I said. That's his only bit.
What's it called?
Even If I Die, brackets, Hobbs and Shaw, close brackets.
All right.
So check it out. Cypress Hill will get in there and a bit of the action of that as well.
Damn. Okay.
All right, well, that's the end of the preamble. Let's get into it proper on the other side of this proper music cue. The top 10 movie a-holes. The top 10 Hollywood a-holes.
A-holes, you say?
Is the subject of this week's countdown. And I guess it's pretty straightforward in terms of, as you said, tried to substantiate with someone who's gone on record as saying, here is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne, sir, your number 10 biggest a-hole in Hollywood.
Okay.
Based on your research.
Based on my research. Now, this one here is a bit understandably perhaps tough for me because Christian Bale is possibly the most faithful version of Batman on the screen, and he's the second best Bruce Wayne. The first being Ben Affleck, in my opinion. I'm not kidding.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
I stand I'm telling you, motherfucker.
If you think it over, it's there. Anyway, it's another countdown. so this guy here, everyone will tell you that, you know, Christian Bale is like, okay, he's the guy who yelled at that dude on the Terminus.
Yeah, of course. That's the big one he's known for.
That's what he's known for. But the truth is, with my picks, I'm trying to go with guys that I always kind of suspected were assholes. And then through things I've heard, I kind of think, yeah, there's a really good chance that person is an asshole. Now, Christian Bale, his whole demeanor is that of, like, I was reading this GQ kind of like interview with him, and he was talking, and even the actual interviewer said, when I met him, there was none of this shake hands, hi, how's it going, thanks for your time, don't mention it. None of that. He just walks up and goes, we're doing this here or what? Like, that's it.
Mm.
And he just comes, and he really, and I was reading the interview, and he's just...
comes across as...
yeah, really shitty. And I understand that this is all... the problem that I have with it is that it becomes really self-important as an artist when you start being that way. Maybe that's his thing anyway. When Batman opened, he had a fight with his parents, and then they fucking set the cops on him and shit like this. All this, he's probably kind of an a-hole, is what I always think. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, he's probably my number 10, in as much as I wouldn't like to, because I love his work, and that's why I know him.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
great actor.
Possibly an a-hole.
There was someone on Twitter, if I can now pause for a moment to find, who did say, has personally met him, and he was delightful.
See, that's the thing. You get all these stories, and people say, yeah, we've heard he's an asshole, but you could tend, like, probably find 100 good stories about the person. So, it's probably just a bad day, this and that. It's really more of a mood I get from him.
This is from Kelly J, a dead redhead, Lowry, on Twitter. She said, makes me so sad that Christian Bale was mentioned by Bad Casting Podcast. Many of my co-workers that worked on the set of The New World, the Terrence Malick film, said Bale was such a pleasure to work with. He said hello and good morning to everyone on set.
It's all about mood, isn't it?
It is.
You know, and then, yeah, oh, well.
Yeah, okay, that's not to dispute what you said.
No, I mean, like, that's the thing.
It is what it is.
I reckon you could get good and bad stories about
it. Yeah, and everyone's entitled to a bad day.
That's what
But what we're looking for here are people who are more consistently asshole-ish.
Yes.
Or arrogant with their approach to Hollywood
exactly.
their place within it, including my number 10.
Your number 10.
Michael Bay.
Ah, Michael Bay gets a lot of heat. Now, let's hear about Michael Bay.
So, some horrendous stuff. It's not good. I'm not telling you.
No, you got to start low. You got to start with
people who are a little bit starting low when we're working our way up.
Same with me.
Yeah. Michael Bay, basically, while promoting the film, whichever one it was, Dark Side of the Moon, let it slip to Jason Solomon at The Guardian that Megan Fox... I'll take it back. Megan Fox said her audition wasn't usual to get into the Transformers franchise. She told me, said Jason Solomon, she went to director Michael Bay's house to audition and he made her wash his Ferrari while he filmed her.
Sounds fine.
I'm not even laughing much.
Okay. Oh, wait. Well, look.
She said she didn't know what had happened to the footage. When I put it to Bay himself, he looked suitably abashed. I don't know where it is either. Didn't deny it.
Which is okay.
Just said, yep, I took it and, you know, it's just
fallen. Okay, hang on. If I may play devil's advocate for just a moment.
Please wait.
You're a director trying to cast a female and clearly she's the female love interest, so she's got to be hot on screen.
Yes.
He's like, well, I'm going
to... Does she need to wash your car, Wayne?
Well, perhaps
Would
that's
Would you prefer
how...
she washed your not? I mean, no.
No, hang on. What if that was the light he was looking for in the scene?
No.
And he's like, I'm going to see...
No.
Come on. Well, he's, no. Or he's thinking... Put her in a sexy... Oh, look, I'm just saying.
It's a good example, though, and a good point where we should emphasize. We have decided to not focus on the real low-life scumbags who have sexually assaulted
anyone.
And used their power for sexual gain.
That's right. That's
so
not
this is as
list.
Close as I get, other than a brief mention with one other person. So
obviously, Harvey Weinstein is shit.
Yes, Harvey Weinstein.
All these people. So.
It would be number one with a bullet.
Yes.
So, Kevin Spacey's the world. So we're not going to spend
time
with them.
That's not this show.
It's
this
not
is,
funny.
Exactly.
It's not okay. And so we're not even going to pretend that it is. This is borderline wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
it's somewhat amusing.
But it's nowhere near that level.
Right.
Oh, it is wrong, I'm trying to say, but it's nowhere near that level. Then when confronted with the idea that, you know, his characters, Mudflap and Skins in Revenge of the Fallen, were ratio stereotyping, right?
Yeah.
Because they speak exclusively in Southern crunk drawl and use expressions like bust a cap and one even has a gold tooth. He was like, we were just putting more personality in. I don't
Honestly,
know if it's stereotypes.
Is that not okay?
Robots, by the way. These are the voice actors. They went in a direction. We just went with it. I'm like, hang on. You're a director, motherfucker. You can't say no too far.
No, but
rain
I don't think
it
you should.
In.
I don't think you should.
Yes,
you know
should.
What? I like Michael Bay. I like fucking Michael Bay. He's like me, man. He's an asshole. No, he's not an asshole, right?
He's an asshole. He's not the biggest asshole on the list.
No.
He's an asshole.
You know, you know what my problem is? I suspect if I was a really successful Hollywood director, I'd be exactly like him.
Which worries me, Wayne.
No,
So before you dig yourself a
deeper
hole.
No. Not so much the whole, the fucking filming the chick with that. But he actually has a problem when he bores people. Like, he feels bad about it. I feel bad about it, too. So that's why I'm always lowing and screaming.
How about this? Kate Beckinsale cast in Pearl Harbor 16 years ago. You were 16 years ago?
Yeah, as well.
2001. No, so 18 years ago. He told her to work out and lose weight because... Why?
What?
He said he also hired her because he didn't want someone who was too beautiful because it would have disturbed female moviegoers.
Not too beautiful?
Yep.
Okay, we'd be nothing alike. We'd be nothing alike. He thought she was not too beautiful.
Yeah. Quintessential Michael Bay. And apparently she just had a kid and she was coming up having a kid and she's like...
Did he know?
Of course he did.
Okay.
He's a prick. I'm sorry. You put all those stories together, he's a prick.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's my number 10.
Okay.
Moving on to your number 9.
There's no arguing with the Kate Beckinsale thing.
I don't know. Are you going to take the position of arguing for everyone? I argue.
No. I absolutely am not. I just because Michael Bay, I thought about him for my list. And I'm like, nah, I quite like that thing he did. Not this thing I'm talking about. But I quite like the ways he's gone, like career-wise, and the things that he said.
If you keep talking, I will give you a shovel.
Okay, fine. Guys, let's just go on to my number 9, which is Russell Crowe. Now, Russell Crowe, please.
Are you not too low?
That was pretty good. That's not bad. That's not bad. Okay, all right. Look, I'll happily admit he's one of the best, most versatile actors working. If you watch The Insider, that's the film where it really became obvious to me that he was an amazingly layered actor. Okay?
I think he's like one of the best character actors going around, who somehow got elevated to being
leading man. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So what makes me think he's a shit, though, is not... There's the phone throwing thing and the him being an asshole on set, and there's countless myriad stories about him telling everyone to fuck off and shit like that. But for me, the actual thing that makes me sort of kind of think he's an asshole is this holier thou than thou kind of artistic attitude. He really, really let Hollywood go to his head, because he used to be a cool guy back in the day. I remember seeing interviews when he was doing Rumpenstopper and shit like that.
Rumpenstopper,
right? He was cool, man. I said, this guy's likable, it's all good. But then now he starts, like, when he's giving an acceptance speech, he just fucking busts out a poem and then gets cut off and then gets fucking played off the stage and then fucking strings up the producer and fucking and threatens him. And can you think about what it would actually take for you to throw your phone at a hotel staff person? Like, what would it take for you to have
couldn't,
to do?
He couldn't put him through to his wife or something like that.
So for me, it's like, who actually would do that?
Mm-hmm.
Who would actually do, throw the fucking phone? So that's gotta be asshole, right? Oh,
absolutely.
So
I've got a couple other stories
for
you.
Please.
This is from the book, published book by Nicole Laporte, The Men Who Would Be King, an almost epic tale of moguls movies in a company called DreamWorks.
Oh.
Remember in Gladiator when he takes off his helmet to reveal his identity and gives that speech? And I'll have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Yeah.
That one. Turns out Crowe thought it was shit and didn't want to say it. And director Ridley Scott shot it that way and then said, all right, Crowe, Russell, you do it your way. Then they did it both ways.
Yeah.
So everyone loved it. Crowe still hated it. It was shitty repeated. And so basically, in the end, he looked at his version and said, okay, that doesn't work. But it's still shit, your version. But I'm the greatest actor in the world, quote unquote.
Yeah, I remember.
And I can make even shit sound good.
I remember reading that.
The fuck?
I remember reading that, and I was like, he must have been kidding, but he probably wasn't. I'm the greatest actor in the world.
You want to think someone's kidding.
I know, because I can't imagine
it's like when fucking Kanye West, which if we were doing...
Oh, that's a whole different kettle.
If we were doing that,
he's number one with a bullet. No question.
When he's like, I am like the Black Jesus, and I'm the new coming of music and whatever. You totally believe
he
that
said he
shit.
Would be in the Bible if it was written today. That's what he said, and it was dead serious about it. And I'm like, God damn.
Let's not get off the track. The other thing was when Crowe created a huge beef with George Clooney when he was basically saying,
yes,
he was calling them for sellouts because Robert De Niro, George Clooney, Harrison Ford were appearing in commercials. And so Clooney's response was gold, and he said, hey, look, he's probably right. I'm glad he told us, because Bob and Harrison and I were thinking about starting a band, which would also fall under the heading of bad use of celebrity.
Oh,
Crowe didn't appreciate the shot. And at his band, right?
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. was it 60 seconds of grunt or some shit?
30 odd seconds of grunt.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that one. Yep. And responded with, who the fuck does this guy think he is? He's a Frank Sinatra wannabe.
That fucking got me. I'm like...
Clooney then apparently sent a note to Crowe saying, dude, the only people who succeed when two famous people are fighting is People magazine. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I read an article where he spoke about writing that note to Russell Crowe.
And then Crowe apparently apologized and sent George, as by way of apology, a book of his poems and some of his music. If that's not the fucking button on this nomination, I don't know what is.
Have you heard his shit?
I have no interest
it's
at all.
It's not great. It's not great.
It's shocking horror.
No, but like it's... Anyway.
All right, that's what he's coming up.
He's
my
clearly
list.
On your list.
We'll see how high up he goes. My number 9 is, there's less stories about this, but I thought this story was so good that she deserves a place.
Go list. On, Phil.
Catherine Heigl.
I knew she did have on your list.
Aside from pissing off everyone when she shat on Knocked Up, which is kind of the film that helped,
I would say so,
elevate her.
I saw,
she was on Grey's Anatomy, I think, before that. But then,
I hadn't watched that, but I watched this.
Yeah.
So for me, it was, that girl from Grey's Anatomy, because I saw the trailers,
yep.
is here.
Yeah. And
then
this was
now I knew her, exactly.
And then she's later on in 27 dresses or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. She had a sort of a...
I'm not sure which one came first, but they're around the same time. So this is part of her renaissance, or not renaissance, part of her coming to popularity, coming up. And then she just called it out by saying it was sexist and pissing everybody off.
Why would you do that? Like,
I don't know.
Because it makes you look stupid that you signed on for it. Like, did you not read the script?
Yeah, that's a good point. And to be fair, look, the women roles in that film aren't great. Like, all her friends are all bitches and whatever else. So
yeah, but that's the story. Yeah.
But it's not a graceful way to criticize someone who's helped be responsible for your success.
There's no class, no class.
But worse, far worse, was her refusal to put in a bid for the 2008-2009 Emmys for her work on Grey's Anatomy because she felt the writing for her character, Shonda Rhimes, was not on par with her performance.
I remember that. That was real cold.
What an asshole.
Imagine if you were the head writer or something. Exactly. Like any of the writers.
I'm pretty sure she got killed off not long after that.
Oh, dude. That would be it. That's like, but what do you think is going to happen after you say that? How did she
not
think that?
That's unbelievable.
Does she have an agent? What's going on here?
Yeah, but that's the height of arrogance. That's the height of assholeness.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a contender.
That's it for me. That's my number nine, Catherine Heigl.
Not bad. My number eight is the actor is Crispin Glover. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah, of course I do. From Back to the Future.
Yes, he was Marty's dad in Back to the Future, and he was a...
George!
He was a creepy hitman in Charlie's Angels films and his cousin Dale in Wild at Heart and stuff like that. He's even Hot Tub Time Machine. He is a guy who I've always suspected as an asshole. One thing, for real, there's tapes of this on YouTube, right? Check it out. One thing he did early in his career, which I saw late at night, was when he was on Dave Letterman, when he was completely insane. He was like animatedly skittish. He came out, he kept saying weird, dumb shit, looked like he was cracked out, and he started kind of jumping around like the set, and then at one stage...
if we're going to include that kind of behavior on a talk show, I'm not sure T to the C can avoid this list.
No, he just jumped on a couch being happy. This dude here, you know what this guy did? After he's died on the thing, he does this weird thing where he just wildly kicks... out in the air, right? Kicks high in the air. His foot goes like 1 centimeter away from Dave Letterman's face.
Ooh,
all right?
Ooh.
Dave Letterman, and while this guy's getting freakier and freakier, you can see Dave Letterman getting more pissed off.
Right.
No, he's pissed off.
Pissed off, okay.
Yeah. And when the kick comes and it almost, Dave doesn't flinch, but he just gets up and says goodnight, everyone, and walks off the set.
Wow.
Live TV. Right? So actually, it's not Dave's on the live, but he did. He walked out.
Right.
Anyway, and then also in Charlie's Angels, he didn't like his lines.
Oh, here we go.
Do you hear this?
No.
Dude, so that hitman is creepy and mute, right? The reason he's mute is that Crispin Glover didn't like the lines and said, I'm going to do all the things, but I'm not going to speak. That was it. So it actually changed the character. The character had lots of lines, but now it made it just creepy. That's pure dickerish. Because he, again...
What is your major malfunction,
he signed the contract and he read the script. This is bullshit. So that's some dick shit that I don't like, and I always thought he was a dick.
Yeah, it kind of gets backed up when people like Katherine Heigl have disappeared out of the Hollywood eye.
Yeah.
And Crispin Glover, same thing. Like that, you know, we're big back in the 80s and 90s. And I know they've gotten older and whatever, but characters or actors who have sustained careers.
Yeah.
You know, they're either playing different kinds of roles, but they're still around.
That's right.
The Bobby De Niro's and the Al Pacino's and the whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Crispin Glover, what the fuck was the last thing he was in?
Oh, exactly. I mean, I think he's only had about, it seems like he only had like 4 or 5 roles you might recommend him in or see him in. But.
Yeah. So the point is though, like, I think if you are a decent person or at least professional, you can be a prick, you can be hard assed, you can be maybe a Christian Bale, as long as you are decent and not doing things like that, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of other people that'll like that.
All there right. You are.
Very nice choice there. My number eight is someone who also has also disappeared out of the Hollywood limelight to a large extent, though he's starting to pop back up just now.
Yeah.
Maybe learnt a bit of humility. I'm talking about Mike Myers.
Yes. This is storied.
Yeah, and it goes back a lot further than this, but I just picked a couple of examples of it out because some of this stuff you could go down a rabbit hole and never stop finding examples.
Absolutely.
So his co-star on Cat in the Hat, Amy Hill, said basically he had a sycophant following him around the entire set the whole time with a Tupperware container of chocolate. That was her entire job or his entire job.
Mm.
It does say she, but anyway. That was that person's entire job was to follow around so that he can pull a chocolate out whenever he wanted one. That was that was what they were paid for. I'm like, wow. But she also characterized Myers as a diva who constantly made the cast and crew wait while he micromanaged the entire production. And then in 2000, he also apparently refused to work on some other script for another SNL character he had. I can't remember. It was some German dude. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But he wrote the script. He said, I'm pulling out because of script problems. But he wrote it.
Really?
What a wanker. You write the script. Oh, he co-wrote it, right? But he pulled out saying, nah, that script's not good enough.
Oh, man. Okay.
In 2008, Wayne's World director Penelope Spheeris started to get her own digs in. She said he was emotionally needy and saying he got more difficult as the shoot went along in terms of his work on The Cat in the Hat. But the most telling line of the interview was her remark, maybe he could open like a children's hospital to clean up his rep. He's got to do something pretty quick.
Oh, really?
If your director is saying you need to open a children's hospital...
What's going on?
Because everyone hates you.
But it's so weird that Funny Man is like that. Like, I don't even understand that energy. Like, if you're inclined to make people laugh, but then you're actually a prick, what is that? I don't even understand that.
There's a reason he disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did Love Guru was a huge flop.
That was the thing that killed it. But then he started turning up in Inglourious Basterds and shit like that.
Well, now he started turning up in little bit pieces and Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but they're tiny little roles.
But that was a really...
Tiny little roles. Yeah. And doing the Gong Show or whatever the fuck he's doing in makeup and whatever else. So,
oh, really?
He's obviously trying to win it back slowly in his own way.
Okay.
That's my number 8, Mike Myers.
All right. My number 7 is Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, now, okay.
I actually liked Shia LaBeouf a lot. So this is a little bit of a disappointment for me. See, because back in the day when he was just coming up and doing his Eagle Eye and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
He did another talk show interview where he was just kind of cool and he admitted to smoking and just like, I kind of liked him, right? And I'm like, all right, this guy's cool. And then he just turned into a freak. After like this weird, like really high period where he did Transformers and shit like that, then he starts getting weird and putting paper bags on his fucking head in the red carpet and like, I'm not famous anymore and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
And he filmed his own, some kind of documentary / thing where he's watching all of his films back to back just on his face.
Yes! And I'm like, what is this shit? And what it has become is that someone whose art I actually admired has now become a victim of his own being an artistness, and he's a prick now. He's like a shithead now. Mm. And now it's become all performance art and this and that, which is just stupid. Just act. Do shit that people like to... I don't know. Maybe I'm not enough of an artist to understand, but I personally
more
think...
More of an artist than I am.
Oh, but it's just like, I hate that kind of affected shit, so Shia LaBeouf, I think, might be a bit of a cock.
Yeah, I don't think you get too many arguments on that particular one, nor would you get too many arguments on my number 7. A man who went to jail for tax... evasion.
Oh my god, I think he's by number 6.
Wesley!
Snipes!
So he was on my list last week, I think. Was he on yours?
He wasn't. He was on your list, but we talked about this, but please keep going.
And we did hint that he might pop up again this weekend. Yep. He most certainly has. And I want to give a bit of a shout out here to actor Patton Oswalt.
Mm.
Most recently I saw in Veronica Mars season 4 in a prominent role.
Ah, yes. I like Patton Oswalt.
He basically said that Snipes pulled a lot of method acting on the set of Blade Trinity. When I met him, I was like, hi. And he was like, I'm Blade.
You know when you're ripping that shit out.
Look, and again, I'm not sure how method you need to be for Blade.
No, here's the thing. If it was actually you meeting Blade, right, because he's his character, and you said, hi, I'm Blade. Blade wouldn't do that. He would just like walk away or something.
Patton again. Then I remember one day on the set, they let everyone pick their own clothes. There was one black actor who was also kind of a club kid. And he wore the shirt with the word garbage on it in big stylish letters. It was his shirt.
Mm.
And Wesley came down to the set, which he only did for close-ups. Everything else was done by a stand-in. And I only did one scene with him. But he comes on and goes, there's only one other black guy in this movie and you make him wear a shirt that says garbage? You racist motherfucker!
What? Really? Oh, shit. That's so fucking...
Look, the stories go on out of Blade Trinity.
Yeah, I know.
They go on. And he was so fed up with the studio and pissed off at David Goyer, the director, that apparently he choked the director at one particular point during a fight, which has been confirmed by multiple sources.
What is that?
He's smoking weed on set. And he got to the point where he only communicated with David Goyer through post-it notes signed Blade.
Oh, God. You know what the thing... I actually listened to the DVD commentary, right? Back in the day.
Yep.
Of Blade Trinity. And he...
Was Wesley Snipes on it?
Wesley Snipes wasn't on it.
No.
The director said that when he does a fight scene with like the girl...
Three or two?
Three.
Three, okay.
Right? Trinity. When he fights with Jessica Biel and Ryan Reynolds, they're all supposed to leave that room after the fight triumphantly. He says, fuck off, I'm leaving that room alone. I don't care how you guys figure it out, but I'm the only one walking out of that room.
Right.
And then the scene is boom, 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 him walking out alone, right? Because he's just like, fuck you, everyone's shit. Like, he hates it.
He also refused, and this is with thanks to Hendo from the IMDb Journey podcast, pointed this one out, which I went and had a look at, and yep, refused to open his eyes in certain
shots. I saw that. Yeah.
They had to put CGI eyes on him.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
That's just like, I just don't want to do it. You know what I mean?
Then Otten Paswald,
Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt, thank you. Ends his little interview here by saying, we all went to a strip club, you know, celebrating.
Mm.
And a bunch of bikers there. So David Goyer, director, says, I'll pay for all your drinks if you show up to set tomorrow and pretend to be my security. Wesley freaked out and went back to his trailer. And the next day, Wesley sat down with David and was like, I think you need to quit your detrimentalist movie. And David was like, why don't you quit? We've got all your close-ups so we can shoot the rest with your stand-in. And that freaked Wesley out so much that for the rest of the production, that's when he only communicated
really
through post-it notes.
That's shit. Do you know what? I looked up that he actually responded to this. He said, because someone said to him, look, what's the deal with that? And he said, once again, I'll say to you, sir, look at the source of the information. I didn't know Patton Oswalt was a method actor. Would he know the difference?
Oh.
That's what he said.
That's not an actor. That's not a denial. That is not a denial.
But he didn't deny also the post-it notes. He said he actually didn't deny it. He said,
yeah. You're an asshole.
Yep.
You're an asshole. That's why I'm on my list. Number 7, Wesley Snipes.
That's right. And that was my number 6. So.
And my number 6, volley, straight back to you, Russell Crowe.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Okay, good.
Hi, not high.
No, higher. Sorry, higher.
Hyper, yes.
Yes. All right. My number 5 is Tobey Maguire, people.
Ah, okay. Didn't make my cut?
I think there's a theme in my list is people who disappointed me. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I loved Spider-Man. I loved like Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man. That was like one, that was almost the start of the proper kind of, even though it wasn't MCU, it was that MCU kind of movie where it was happy. Maguire used to be a quite a drinker and then decided to just can it completely because he knew it was a problem. So he apparently though is the player X in
Molly's game.
And apparently just the things that he's done where he once offered Molly $1,000 in real life to, you know, bark like a seal. And when she wouldn't do it, he's like, oh, what's wrong with you? He's doing shit like that. Mm. Like, for me...
I might have another story not unlike that story.
Really? See, that specific thing is a very telling kind of way. If you're trying to humiliate a woman that way, then what kind of man are you? And who even has the idea to do that? Mm. This piece of shit?
Yeah,
so that offends me more than a lot of other shit.
Yep.
So that's what number 5. My number 5 is Tobey Maguire.
Okay. All right. Straight and forward and to the point.
It's a pretty dark show, isn't it?
But I hope we're laughing in amazement at how it's...
Yeah, it's just like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
What
the hell was that?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see as we progress. My number 5 is a man who needs no introduction.
Okay.
Whose castmates from the TV show that made him a star to this day continue to talk smack about him.
Really?
Yeah. I'm talking about William Shatner.
Shatman.
The late James Doohan, who played Scotty, said, I wanted to thump him on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura, said, people say you're a pompous, arrogant, egotistical, self-centered, narcissistic jerk.
Really?
I don't think you're narcissistic.
Oh, damn. God damn. That's tough, man. But I've heard stuff about him.
Apparently, he stole lines. He got so insecure on the set of Star Trek, he was stealing lines. So, George Takei, yep. I think that's what he's saying. Yep. Bill's not satisfied, will not be satisfied until we're all gone. He gets to do all of our parts. And those two have a huge spat.
Massive. I even remember George Takei talking about it, openly saying that there was a scene that Will didn't like. And so they're like, no, you got to shoot it anyway. And he just basically flubbed his lines over and over and over so that it was unusable in the edit. And they just had to cut the scene. He was just doing shit like that. Wouldn't that be? And that was a scene which was Takei heavy. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just getting people away from that. They're just taking roles out, basically.
Apparently, Uhura was very close to quitting. And she said, because of him, because he was bossing around, intimidating the directors and guest stars and cutting other actors' lines and generally taking enough control to disrupt the sense of family we had shared.
Mm.
But it was Martin Luther King Jr. who spoke to her and said, we need an African-American woman in such a prominent position. We need you to stay on board.
Really?
Literally.
Shit.
So, when you've got Martin Luther King Jr. in your ear.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that stops you quitting over one actor's petulance.
And, oh, no, he'd be a prick. He'd be a prick. You know what this weird thing about this is? It's definitely true that he's a prick and he's acted like an asshole. And if all those things are true, which I guess it seems like there's a lot of reports for them to all not be true.
It's too many.
There's too many.
Yep.
I actually, oddly, in his old age kind of like him. Like the stuff that he says, the way that he talks in the interviews, he really acknowledges his old age. And I don't know, you know, it's, I don't know. I seem to like him more now. Apparently he was a total prick back then.
Yeah.
He probably might be one now too. If you're old, you're not going to be less fucking crotchety, are you? But like,
well, there's an old statement in the psychological circles, or yeah, an old belief, which is that personality disorders fade with age. They don't get worse. Because it takes too much energy to manage to maintain.
Oh, interesting.
That level. So narcissism, for example, people get less narcissistic as they get older.
Well, I can look forward to that, I guess.
Things to be positive about getting old. Last quote then from Shatner himself saying, Gwynne comparing himself to Kirk, we're basically one and the same, although Jim was just about perfection, and I, of course, am perfect.
That's got to be a gag. It's got to be a gag. The win-win thing that goes straight place. All right, fine. That's all good.
There we go. One number five. William Shatner.
See, that's what I like about it. I like that dumb shit. That's what I'm saying. Okay. My number four is a dude that Paul put me onto back in the day.
Oh.
And I have since you mentioned this guy.
Michael Madsen, is it?
It's not, but I just assume he's not. So now that I think about it. Yeah, absolutely not. No, it's not. It's Uwe Boll.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. It deserves the place.
So when,
I honestly was going to put him on here, but I don't know.
Well, the thing is...
He's easily an honorable mention.
He's a German film director, and he's known for like movie adaptations of video games like House of the Dead and Alone in the Dark and Blood Rain and stuff like that. And he's a complete cock. Like, his whole movies are driven by this exploitation of a German tax law that allows a movie to make money even when it fails at the box office. So that means he can actually aim for a shit movie and still make money.
Yeah, you don't have to put any effort in.
That's right. And he doesn't. And as a result, Paul told me about him because in 2006, he famously challenged movie critics to fight him in the boxing room. And
I can't believe it was that long ago. Fuck.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Jesus, I thought you were going to say it was 2014 or something.
No, no, 06. And then one of them did, and he beat the shit out of him because the guy was a scrawny-ass reporter.
Apparently he beat the shit out of quite a few people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't just one, but one was particularly brutal.
Really?
Yep.
He's a dick, right? And he's also never to blame for anything that goes wrong with his films. If the films go out and he prays, he goes, that's me. And if they suck, he's like, they're idiots that watch garbage like Avengers and Terminator and Transformers.
Yeah, I fucking hate
he's
that.
He's such a dickhead. And he's even actually told, like, he's gone done videos saying, fuck yourself to his fans and this. And the fans, even people, someone started a poll to say, how many people sign this, should Uwe Boll retire? You know, and shit like this. And I what I don't like about him is he's celebrating the mediocrity and he's like, fuck you. He's just an arrogant shithead. So there you are.
He clearly takes a little bit of a line out of your book, Wayne.
I stand resolute, motherfucker. Yeah, but he ain't funny. See? It's all the difference.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's a good, what was that, number four?
That was my number four.
All right. Well, in that case. Oh, huh?
Oh dear.
Oh dear. Nope. My number four is another action star. He's someone who's gotten old and more irrelevant the older he's gotten.
Really?
Yep. He's not someone associated with that noise that you can hear in the background.
Oh, dear.
But he is a bloke that we spoke about last week in the Top 10 Action Movie Stars because once upon a time he was pretty great. I'm talking about Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis?
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, look.
And I'll give you the reason, the basic reason why. Please. And then I'll substantiate it with a couple of anecdotes. Bruce Willis was once a great action star.
Oh, yeah.
In like you said, he was in Moonlighting. And he I understand how he built a sense of self-importance.
Yeah,
I understand why he thinks he was better than most.
Yeah.
However, there's a difference between thinking it and acting it out repeatedly on the public forum or in the public forum.
Now that I think about it, there's no way he's not a dick.
Yeah. It got to the point where he believed his own press so much that he didn't want to do press.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds about right.
So there's a great, probably the most illustrative anecdote comes from after Red 2 was made. He's doing the publicity circuit for that.
Yeah.
And the interviewer in the UK, Jamie Edwards, basically did him the favor of going to see the film before interviewing him. All interviewers should see a film before they have the celebrity on the show.
Yeah.
But it's quite apparent when you listen to the fluffy and innocuous questions that they don't.
Really?
A lot of them.
Wow.
So anyway, he starts by saying, apparently Bruce Willis was just annoyed to start with. So Edwards asked him what his favorite place to film was, and Willis says Istanbul, which Edwards points out wasn't actually in the film. And then he says, but at least that proves I watched the movie. And that made Bruce Willis angrier. And he says, has any actor ever told you this, Jamie? That this part is not acting what we're doing right now. You might be, but we're just selling the film now. Sales. The fun part was making the movie.
That's such a shitty thing to say. Like, this. Oh, God.
So, Edwards responds with, so how would you sell me the film then? I wouldn't, Willis said, I would slash my hooves. What does that even mean?
Slash my hooves?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would slash my hooves.
Is that like I'd be a horse committing suicide before I tried to sell this thing that will help my career?
Yeah, I actually never even heard that before. Okay, also insane.
So then Edwards tries getting Willis' good graces by telling him he loved the film, which, if he'd been paying attention, would have realized that wasn't going to go down that well. And then basically Willis just got up and left.
What? Yeah.
And then look, the big one is Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. The reason I agree with like this one obviously is that I love Kevin Smith. So if Kevin Smith rags on him, I'm gonna like obviously take Kevin Smith's side.
The great thing about Kevin Smith is he's so much more forthright than just about anybody else in the Hollywood system.
Yeah.
And he's had his podcast and his podcast empires, and to be fair, they are what sustain his living now. He pops in and out of doing some bit part directorial things and yes, we're finally getting Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back or whatever, whatever it is. But it's been a long time since I made a good film. And dear God, I apologize to anyone who's seen Yoga Hoses and to a lesser extent, Tusk. He was interviewed by Mark Maron on Mark Maron's podcast. And I've got a whole bunch. And I don't want to go through it all because it's too long. But basically, he even said that Bruce Willis refused to pose the way that they needed to for the poster art on Cop Out.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, that's different. That stage is petty.
Yeah. And he talked about, light side and dark side, and I got the dark side and all the rest of it. Mark Maron said, so you don't want to, one guy wouldn't even sit for a fucking poster shoot. Mark Maron says, you don't want to mention names all of a sudden. And Kevin Smith says, look, everyone knows who it is. Put it this way. Remember the really funny guy in the movie? It ain't him. He's a fucking dream, Tracy Morgan. I would lay down in traffic for him. Were it not for Tracy, I might kill myself or someone else in making that movie.
I wish any part of that movie worked. It was a piece of shit.
I've never seen it. It's on Netflix
it's
now.
It's really
and
bad.
And every so often I'm tempted. Let's see what's going on here.
No, you should because you won't get
it. But I cannot imagine Bruce Willis in that film from whatever it was, 2010, 11 or whatever, is any different than Bruce Willis in every film we've subsequently seen him in. Like Once Upon a Time in Venice and all these other piece of shit fucking straight to Netflix or streaming platforms.
He's just getting...
He is so awful in these films.
He's the fucking John Carpenter of fucking
actors. Yes, he is. Of acting. That's a good description.
He's just picking it up now, the check. So yeah. Okay. Bruce Willis, good call.
Kevin Smith basically said, he changed everything for me because now I'll never want to meet anybody. That was it. I'd rather like people from a distance. Wow.
Yeah, he tells tons of stories about this. There's even off-the-cuff stories where he's at Comic Cons that someone just filmed. He tells there's even more stories than in special about Bruce Willis. So, there you are.
All right, your number three, sir.
My number three is Gene Hackman.
Oh.
Yes. Now, I remember hearing, again, one that Paul put me onto. Many years ago, I've heard about, I've always kind of felt like Gene Hackman would be an asshole. The first story was from Paul, where he said that Hackman was a dick, and it's since been confirmed in Bruce Campbell's book, If Chins Could Kill, that he was the entitled actor who just doesn't do what the director says. The director says, hey, okay, dude, come out of this saloon, walk over here, say this line, remember that? And he's like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, what? I'm not doing that.
Awesome Gene Hackman laugh.
Yeah, correct. But he's not even laughing. He just sounds like he's just like, he's doing his gloves and he goes, fuck it, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. He says, well, I'll walk over here, but I'm not saying the line. And he would just keep doing that shit. But apparently, during the Royal Tenenbaums, he was backed into a corner with the deal where he was interested in the movie, but they were going to pay him very little. And then his manager said, yeah, do the movie.
Okay. Right? All right.
He does it. He decides he changed his mind and he goes, you know what? I'm going to make a solemn vow that I'm going to be the biggest prick I could possibly be during filming. And apparently...
He said that to whom?
He said that to his agent. Right? So this is the idea. And who knows how this came out. But basically, the entire movie was completely fucked. Everyone who was on the show said he was the most intolerable filming prick ever. Called people a cunt, telling people to pull up their trousers and just being a real shit. And like Angelica Houston was scared to be anywhere near Hackman. Like she actually said, I'm not going to do any more scenes with him. Like that's
it.
Yeah, like that kind of shit. And the problem is just like, for you to walk into a project saying I'm going to make everyone's life miserable, that's my purpose now in this thing that I'm doing because I'm pissed off.
Fuck you.
That's the worst cunt ever. Because now everyone else is fucked just because you're a prick.
That's not jerk. It's not even asshole. That's cunty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's, fuck Gene Hackman.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, let's do number three. My number three is Chevy Chase.
Oh my God, that's my number two. Okay.
All right, well...
No, please.
Let's start with one. So he leaves SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And Lorne Michaels was a producer on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he just shat off everybody when he left. He just fucking took a piss over everybody. So he severed his relationship with it all to go and do a series of primetime specials. Cherry was a scumbag, the way he left, one of the writers told a couple of interviewers. Deceitful and dishonest about the whole thing. When staff writer Tom Davis asked why he was leaving, Chevy said, money. Lots of that. Money.
Exactly.
Your turn, sir. That?
It's more that he had a fist fight with Bill Murray backstage in Saturday Night Live, and I'm like, this is shit. And he would just do weird jokes. But the problem that I actually had is, I'm sure, is actually Paul's problem, is his work on the Community show, where he was just a complete shit, and then he left his pissy message to Mark Harmon saying, fuck you. Or Dan Harmon, sorry, yeah. Saying, you know, fuck you, this, that, which was played, and everyone's laughing at it and stuff like that. He's clearly the kind of guy who's just a piece of shit.
Problem is that Dan Harmon, probably an asshole as well.
Yes, I agree.
And so when he recorded the reaction that people had and put it online for people to hear, that's dumb as fuck.
Or what? He didn't put it online. He just played it for a whole bunch of people. But someone recorded that and put that on. So he didn't prophesize that. Right, but he did do that.
Still.
Oh, man. I'm almost the guy who would do that.
Yeah, look, I'm not. Look, if I had my choice between Chevy Chase and Dan Harmon, I'm picking Dan Harmon.
Absolutely.
I think that might be two big egos clashing head on in that particular instance. That said, he seemed to try to want to piss everyone off. He was back in 85 hosting SNL, and he made fun of Robert Downey Jr.'s father. Didn't your father used to be a successful director? Whatever happened to him? Boy, he sure died, you know. He sure went to hell.
Can you imagine that? Like,
and he was apparently relentlessly on the back of the first ever SNL openly gay cast member in the 80s. So that's a big call.
Yep.
Terry Sweeney. And he said to him, he went up to him every week and said, have you got wage yet? Have you got AIDS? Like, that was his shtick.
Yeah.
That was his comedy time. Like, I know it's awkward now.
I'm trying to think of, like...
It was fucking awkward then. You could just say that to someone.
You're trying to put it with the filter of the 80s. It's like people said really fucked up shit like that, right? And it was all fine because no one knew what it was about.
So Sweeney said eventually, whoever it was, the producers, I assume, said, you will fucking apologize for this. You cannot say that shit. And so he ended up having to... And he came to my office and he was furious he had to apologize. He was angry as fuck.
Dude, he's been doing it for years. He pissed off Johnny Carson, man. Johnny Carson said Chevy Chase couldn't ad-lib a fart after a baked bean dinner. That's what he said. So that means if you're getting that kind of vitriol like back then, he's just been a prick forever. So that's why he's on my list and yours.
In 97, Kevin Smith met him and said, at lunch, Chevy went on to claim he invented every funny thing that ever happened in the history of not just comedy, but also the known world. You ever sat down with anybody who claimed responsibility for stuff he did and didn't do? It's really off-putting.
Yeah, no, that's fucked up.
And in 2002, they did a roast of Chevy Chase, and no one from SNL turned up. There is most
telling,
concretely,
yep,
the evidence you need to prove that Chevy Chase is a complete a-hole.
It's a shame that people like actually prosper, but what are you going to do?
That's it. That's my number three, and you're number two, so straight back to me, right?
That's right.
All right, well then, my number two is someone that we're very familiar with. Familiar with.
Oh, dear.
It is Charlie Sheen.
Oh, Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen!
Yeah, not on your list?
Nope.
Oh.
What happened with him is... You tell me.
Look, there's so many things that Charlie Sheen's done wrong. We could spend an entire podcast talking about the Charlie Sheen effect. And it's not as he likes to claim that because he got HIV, that increased the number of searches where people realized what they had it, and he is single-handedly responsible for stopping more HIV's progression through the world.
Yeah.
It's not because he's got tiger's blood or Adonis DNA, which he has claimed multiple times in separate interviews.
Yeah, that was that period, all right.
It's because he thinks he's responsible for every good thing that's ever happened to anything he was involved with, and everyone else who was talently, whose creativity was involved, added nothing.
Anything in particular?
Not Two and a Half Men.
Oh, yeah.
He takes responsibility for that show making $4 billion. If I had made $5 billion, he said, they probably would have killed me. Can you imagine the ego?
I know. I'm balancing. The ego is definitely way out of control, all right? And I think to myself, though, but how much of it is, well, if Charlie Sheen's out, how popular was the show?
Well, it went on for several seasons.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe it wasn't... No, well...
It did?
But, okay, it did.
That's reality. Yeah. And apparently, the one good thing I could find in my Charlie Sheen sort of research was he gave Ashton Kutcher a really hard time for taking over his spot. But apparently, he then went and said, at one point, I had a moment of clarity and I realized when I took over Michael J. Fox's spot on Spin City, that was really hard work and I shouldn't have been shitting on it. It wasn't Ashton's fault that he came and took my role.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
that's the one nice thing I can find about him.
That's why I say that he actually went through this weird period and actually came good again. But
not really.
Not
thrice. I mean, okay. Oh, I found some last year.
I don't think he wasn't.
He was still shitting on it. So he had an interview last year on an Australian radio show somewhere in the eastern states. And he was like, this is what he said about Chuck Lorre. He is a fucking miserable douchebag.
Whoa.
The most talentless fucking sack of shit of fucking stupid this side of La Brea. I don't know what that means.
La Brea is the tar pits in LA.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go. Yep. Quotes from last year.
Is he
on
still
record.
Pissed off? I thought he had... Oh, wow. Oh, okay. What? Because he did the anger management afterwards and there was it would have made him a boatload of money.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. And look, this is a bloke who's been done for multiple counts. And I don't want to spend too long here.
Yeah, yeah.
Of assault on women. Yeah. Right. He shot his fiancée in the arm, Kelly Preston, in 1990.
Really? He shot her in the arm?
Shot her in the arm. Accidentally.
Kelly Preston, like John Travolta, Kelly Preston?
Yeah, who obviously ended up with John Travolta.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, look, he's an asshole. Fine. Okay.
Completely. But the thing that really sells it for me is this. He knew he got HIV in 2011.
Mm.
In 2015, the news broke. In the four-year intervening period, never told any of his approximately 200 partners that he had HIV.
Yeah, it's a bit tough.
That's you are
fucked up.
Not just an asshole.
No, that's... Yeah.
That is disgraceful.
Mm-hmm. I wonder... Yeah, yeah. That's pretty fucked up.
So there you go. That's why he's my number two. He is as good as it gets. Okay. With only one exception. Fuck you, Charlie Sheen.
All right. My number one, right?
So is it number one time?
Yeah. All right.
Are we here yet? Are we here?
Yes, we are.
Sick gal watch.
You know it's my number one, right?
Oh, is this not your number one?
No, it is my number one.
Good. Okay. Just so, yeah. Sure. I guess. I just assumed, without any question whatsoever, that Seagal would be both of our number ones.
Okay.
Because he is.
Exactly. Let me just give you the thing here.
Give us your rundown first, okay. Or your recap of your list.
10 was Christian Bale, 9 Russell Crowe, 8 Crispin Glover, 7 Shia LaBeouf, 6 Wesley Snipes, 5 Tobey Maguire, 4 Uwe Boll, 3 Gene Hackman, 2 Chevy Chase, and of course number one is Steven Seagal. Now, people, we've been talking about... Thank you. We've been talking about Steven since, well...
Beginning,
since
you challenged him to a fight and the wimpy, pathetic man was not able
who
to respond.
Absolutely certain heard of the fight.
Oh, of course he
challenge,
has.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to cover any of that old ground. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to play you a little clip here, okay? Now, I'll warn you. It's about 70, 90 seconds long, okay. Right?
I've said everything I need to say about Steven Seagal. He is the biggest dirtbag in the history of the universe. And for me, the fact that he thinks he is some elevated being who is Jesus Christ-like, delivering his word to his followers, i.e. fans, is arsehole-less enough.
All that shit is there. But this is something we can laugh at genuinely.
Beyond the creepy stuff, or just his ego is so inflated. I know one goes in hand with the other. But anyway, so I'm just going to throw my lot in with Wayne. My number one is that before we give you the 90-second clip then, here is my recap. Number 10, Michael Bay. 9, Katherine Heigl. 8, Mike Myers. 7, Wesley Snipes. 6, Russell Crowe. 5, William Shatner. 4, Bruce Willis. 3, Chevy Chase. Number 2, Charlie Sheen. Number 1, Steven motherfucking Seagal.
All right,
then. Here it is then. Wayne's clip.
This is an interview, an excerpt of an interview with Steven Seagal where he chats about the time he met and sparred with Bruce Lee and mentions his son, Brandon Lee, as well as his... quote, genius call about Brandon Lee's death. Here
so
we
he's
go.
Pretty much Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Essentially.
Okay.
Here we go.
Was one of Bruce Lee's students? Indeed.
That's how I met Bruce Lee, was through James
Tell me
Colgan.
I was going to ask. So you met Bruce Lee. Through Tell James me about Colgan. Your experiences with Bruce and what was he like and how did you get on with him?
You know, I wasn't around Bruce much. He...
thinking about a lie.
Was the kind of guy who kind of would badmouth most... a lot of the other martial artists and martial arts in a kind of a sarcastic way, fun way, which I understood. For some reason, he never had anything bad to say about me at all. He was quite interested in Aikido, and he was very nice to me. He knew that I grew up in Asia and that I had a son that was half just exactly the same age as Brandon. And when I met Brandon, he had lighter hands.
10-year difference?
My little Caucasian boy. You know, I thought Bruce was a really great guy, really cool guy. And I thought James Coburn was a great guy, too. And I'm really sorry they're all gone. And When Brandon was killed like that, they called me a few minutes after it happened. It was in Carolina somewhere. They called me in the middle of the night and they said, we think that he's dead, but the guy shot a blank gun at him. How could he be dead? He's dying. He's, you know, severely hurt, maybe dead. And I said, you will find a projectile in him. You'll find a bullet in him. And they said, that can't be. You're crazy. And I said, you will find a bullet in him. And they called me in the morning. And they said, you're amazing. And I said, why? And they said, there was a bullet in him.
Okay. Everything you just heard is pure bullshit. And not just the embellishment type bullshit. Literally none of that shit could have happened type bullshit. Okay?
That's a formal interview.
That is a formal interview. Steven Seagal's son was born in 1975. 2 years after Bruce Lee died. There is no way they could possibly have met and talked about their children. In fact, Steven Seagal didn't even start acting until the late 80s, which means that when Bruce Lee died, Steven Seagal himself was 14 years old. He wasn't even out of high school. So why the fuck would...
But he was a good guy, and my son was the same age.
Exactly, my little Caucasian boy. What the fuck? What the hell would Bruce Lee or James Coburn or Steve McQueen do, you know, talking to a 14-year-old boy? Obviously, that didn't happen. But when he goes on to say that Brandon Lee was accidentally killed on the set of The Crow, and he says, they called me in the middle of the night and, you know, told me that... Why the fuck would anyone call you, Steven? Right? Even if you did not meet him, why would anyone call you in the middle of the night? And he's talking about, you'll find a projectile in there. Like, that's some genius call. Do you think anyone who was on the set when it happened might think there might also be a bullet in the fucking gun? He's an idiot. He just automatically makes up bullshit. And I think anyone who does that in a formal arena like this, where you're like,
you're on record. I don't know what that...
But it doesn't even make sense that you could
Beardy
do it.
Beardy or something, apparently. So credit to them.
Credit to Beardy, yeah.
But, like, what?
No shit. It's just the weirdest, like... What kind of psychosis you have where you're like, I'm going to happily tell this story, and it's completely unverifiable and obviously wrong.
And just hope that no one does, in this day and age, no one does the research. Or just does weird. The math, the simple fucking math.
Such a dick. That's the thing. It's just a simple thing to disprove, but he's like so arrogant, fuck it.
We've covered it all. He thinks he's a god spreading the word to his disciples. He pours at underage women. He believes he's better than everyone. He expects a harem of women to pay attention to him when he goes out to dinner with them.
Yeah, that was weird. That
go back through the history of the show, if you're at all interested in this. And we have covered a lot about Steven Seagal over the last 12 or so months. And I want to remind everyone once again, Steven Seagal, the Aikido champion of the world, not currently, obviously, but because he's fat and really old and couldn't move to save his life, has refused to answer Wayne's repeated challenges to a fight.
Yeah, well, you know.
So as far as we're concerned here on The Countdown, Wayne is the new Aikido champion of the world.
I'd never do that shitty martial art.
Or he was until he said that.
Okay.
All right, look, we don't have any time for honorable mentions today. We have gone long in our efforts to bring you...
Possibly a bit too long.
The research on the biggest Hollywood a-hole / jerks. There it is. But we do want to hear your feedback in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's show with Jake Humphrey in the Facebook listener community. Link in the show notes. Stanley Kubrick, a true artist and auteur who was essentially a Disney villain that stumbled into filmmaking.
Yeah, The Shining, right?
From Chris Sutherland, I've heard Sam Worthington was a douche. Christian Bale, easy. And I'm guessing Seagal will be numero uno.
Yeah.
Well done, Chris.
I didn't know he was going to make one on your list.
All too well. From Antoine, Edward Norton, a reputation so prominent, and he must be aware of it given he basically played himself in Birdman. It's a shame because he's talented and should be in more movies.
Again, yeah.
100% agree.
He's awesome.
He's credited as Jon Snow on Facebook, but he's really Julio from the Contrarians podcast. Tobey Maguire, if Molly's Game is to be believed, right? Number two,
yep.
Marlon fucking Brando. This is a good one. If I was Coppola, I would have fired his unprofessional ass on the spot. And that's just the most popular story. I mean, Coppola in The Island of Dr. Moreau, along with Val Kilmer, another Hollywood asshole.
Brando,
that could have made,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Justin Coppola. Sorry, yeah. My apologies. Brando
and
Kilmer. They made poor Richard Stanley's life so miserable, the guy ran away into the rainforest.
And then lived there, keeping on that after getting fired.
The director ran into the forest and lived in far north Queensland.
That's a great documentary, crazy. By the way.
It is good. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head. The Island of Lost Souls or something like that.
Yeah, Island of Dr. Moreau or something like that.
And number one from Julio, Tom Hanks. Fuck that guy. What? Nobody's that nice. You know he's got to be the worst. He's obviously joking. Thank you for that, Julio. Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast. Great show as well. Bruce Willis, famously an arsehole. Kevin Smith has some great stories.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Chevy Chase, kicked off SNL for years due to his behavior and was later booted off Community for similar reasons. And number one, Tobey Maguire, just seems like a prick, plus some of the stories confirm it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Another top-level patron, Johnny Davidson, Charlie Sheen at number three. Number two, James Cameron, didn't make either of our lists.
Made an HM on mine, though.
Yeah, fair enough. Likewise, mine. And number one, Steven Seagal. And Geordie said, I feel like this topic is just the excuse to revisit the Seagal watch segment, which, to be clear, I'm 100% here for. Interested to know that status of Wayne's challenge. There it is.
Make the call.
We have officially announced Wayne as the world champion of Steven Seagal.
Can't wait for that trophy.
Will it just be an ass?
Yeah, it'll be an ass.
And a hole.
Thong, yeah.
Stephen Bird said, glad you clarified for Wayne that this was for people who are hard to work with and not those you thought had actual gigantic sphincters. I'm sure he's pre-prepared and reviews every time he is left alone. Number one has to be Christian Bale. Many will be on the list because of anecdotes and rumors. But this guy has been publicly exposed. The way I see it, he's at the same time a monumental douche that's almost big enough to deal with the size asshole that he is to colleagues who have the audacity to walk past him.
Probably he wasn't so talented.
His movies, though.
Yeah.
Sam Hurley, a good friend from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast, on hiatus at the moment, does the director of Reap count? Zing! Fuck you, Sam! Kidding, mate. Defo, James Cameron, Bruce Willis, and Chevy Chase. Another top-level patron, David Powell, said, all the real douchebags have already been exposed. The only others I can think of are Alec Baldwin and John Mayer. Sorry, Wayne.
I saw that. I'm like, motherfucker!
Paul Murphy had number three, Steven Seagal. Number two, Steven Seagal. Number one, you guessed it, Steven Seagal. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Paul.
I'm glad everyone's on board with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam Allure. Number three, James Cameron. Apparently very hard to work with. Even his ex-wife, Linda Hamilton, said he was miserable to be with.
Well, it's his ex-wife, but okay.
Yeah. Number two, Wesley Snipes, notoriously difficult to film with due to his ego. And number one, Alec Baldwin.
What is this Alec hate?
Notoriously late, yells at cast and crew and apparently complained once about the air being too dry. What an asshole.
Actually, he's an old man now. That probably all happened.
Ashley Gorski, good friend to the show. Steven Seagal, Sean Penn, and Shia LaBeouf.
Sean Penn, good one. On
and she also put out there a photo from Instagram of, I'm not sure where it's from, of Constance Wu apparently being really difficult to work with.
Constance Wu?
Yeah, from Crazy Rich Asians. From that. Jason from the Binge Movies podcast. This could be a long list in no particular order. Mike Myers, Catherine Heigl, Charlie Sheen. Thank you for that. All on my list. I mentioned Hendo before from the IMDb Journey podcast. He was the one that pointed out the gif of Wesley Snipes' fake CGI eyes and Blade Trinity.
Mm.
Got a couple more, and then I got some personal stories from people who shared them with us.
Okay.
First of all, from Judy Shaker, Not Nerd. Apparently, Catherine Heigl's a proper ass. Gwyneth Paltrow, she didn't even know she was in a movie with Samuel L. Jackson. To say nothing of the fact that Gwyneth Paltrow has her fingers so far from the pulse about real life of human beings, it is frightening.
The goop site, yeah.
Yeah, the goop and all that. And then Pop Cannon said Bruce Willis, as told by at that Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple here to wrap up this week's Pop 10 are from people who've given personal or second to personal anecdotes about real interactions they've had.
That's pretty cool.
With actors. So from Chris from the Faces and Aces podcast, who's known as Green Cream One on Twitter. So this is from a female friend of his who used to work on the Roseanne set.
Okay.
And we're talking about Roseanne Barr herself.
Interesting.
And she would regularly have tantrums in that period where she and Tom Arnold were fighting in the process of getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
One day, after one particularly nasty argument, Roseanne sent production assistants out to buy as many male porno magazines as they could find and had them cut out all the dicks.
Oh, damn.
Then she had them glue hundreds of dicks all over the inside of Tom Arnold's trailer. The place was plastered with dicks instead of drawers inside the fridge. Dick, 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 dick.
Oh, my God.
Dick.
Although I make a lot of jokes, I would have a problem with that.
That's amazing.
No, because what do you do? I'm not sleeping in there tonight.
Who had to do that. Oh, that's man. Not.
I know. That's the other thing. The interns.
Yeah. And then from the For Screen and Country, a BFI podcast on Twitter. This was their original tweet. Billy Zane, Jason Patrick, Chris O'Donnell. Last two based on personal experience. First one based on stories from several friends who've worked with him.
Mm.
So I asked for some more details and they were good enough to reply.
Wow.
Friend is a costume designer. Zane was an asshole, agreeing with an also difficult actress that the costumes were horrible and generally made my costume designer friend feel like shit through the whole shoot.
Wow. That must be no fun.
Yeah. And then I was in an extra in a movie that Jason Patrick was in until he was fired and replaced.
What?
I saw him fight with the director, get angry at people for looking at him, and a friend of mine was his assistant. and said he was just awful. Always asking where he could score drugs and hookers.
What? So that his bit in Entourage was like a fucking...
was real.
Yeah, it was a documentary.
And then lastly, this one is funny, although maybe not an indication of how big an asshole Chris O'Donnell is, but just clearly he's fed up with life at that point. When I was like 12, I went up to Chris O'Donnell and asked him how he did that cool stuff in Batman Forever. His response, leave me alone, kid. Ask my agent. And walked away.
So you can't afford to say a damn thing.
just say thanks, mate. Thanks, really appreciate it. Walk on. Do you have to say it like that?
I know.
Asshole. A lot of assholes today, not just the two.
Hope we didn't go too dark for you folks. Just, getting it out there. Okay, that guy might be an asshole. You know, what do you do?
Might have been. There we are.
I know everyone thinks I'm an asshole, so that's fine with me.
We both share that particular honor. That is it for this week's show, episode 231 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. Where, Wayne, can people find us to let us know their feedback for future episodes of the show?
You can find us on the interwebs by Googling The Countdown Podcast, or you can send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on Twitter at The Countdown PC. You can find us on the link in the Facebook listen community, is in the show notes, and indeed we're on Podbean. You can also follow us and make comments there. And finally, ccradio.com.au for our network, where you can find a whole bunch of other great shows there as well. Except Comic Confidential coming to an end. Do check them out before they disappear forever.
Righto.
All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 232 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews?
Oh, I think you're going to like this one, folks. It is the top 10 TV theme songs. That's going to be great.
It's going to be a lot of us not talking and a lot of the theme songs just playing.
Which is like, that's a party. Think it over. That's a party.
Yep.
So, looking forward to that one.
Looking forward to your feedback on that one. We're talking all time, any TV theme tune whatsoever.
It'll be an earworm episode.
That's our hope.
Right.
That's what we're aiming for. That is it for today's. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been a soundboard going out to all the assholes that we've mentioned today. At being an asshole.
Okay, I'm glad you caught that up. All right. Thanks, folks.
Catch you next week.
Yeah.